Our reflections on scriptures today come from three passages from the Gospel of Luke, and I invite you to look that up with me on page 1644, Luke 24, verses 50 through 53, and then the book of Acts. On page 1691, 1691, Acts chapter 1, and then to Colossians chapter 3. What I'll do is I'll announce those passages again, because I'd like you to look them up with me and see why we begin the way we do. And I'll start by telling you this. That of all the things that Christians celebrate, there's an obscurity, sort of a hiddenness about ascension. Did you realize, some of you probably did because you have ancient traditions going on in your heads, that last Thursday was Ascension Day? I should tell you this. I was once at on Ascension Day. We pastors from my neighborhood were invited to see a Blue Jays game. And we got to go in one of those press boxes up. We did. This is in the day when they still have the Jumbotron. So we're up there as pastors on an Ascension Day at a Blue Jays game. And the guy that hosted us said, "You want to say something about life or the world or whatever on the Jumbotron?" So I said, "Well, it's Ascension Day. Let's wish everybody an Ascension Day." And so they typed it in. It went on the board. And nothing. Not a hand clap. Not a cheer. Nothing about Ascension. It's so obscure. Did you go did you think anything last Thursday about Ascension Day? There's some nods. Oh, bless you. Used to be a holiday. A national holiday in some parts of our world. I don't know why it went on like that, but anyway, it's obscure in today. So we call this Ascension Sunday, but it's a concession, isn't it? But here's why. Only Luke mentions it specifically. Now, Luke wrote the book of Acts as well, and it was meant to be one book. Luke and Acts, but the early church in its wisdom decided to stick the Gospel of John in the middle of it so that all four Gospels could be out of the way before we get to the book of Acts. But Luke and Acts were one book at one time, and it flowed better. They think that there was some change of text so that you get what we get now this morning. Just a couple of verses in Luke 24, and then a couple of verses in Acts chapter 1. So here we go. Luke chapter 24 at verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity, led them out, the disciples. When Jesus had led out the disciples to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now we're going to go to page 1691 at the book of Acts, and we're going to read together verses 7 to 11, Acts 1. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." And now, Colossians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul reflecting on all of that presence of Jesus and his resurrection, his ascension, and then, of course, his coming of the Spirit. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And keep your thoughts on that verse in particular on page 1834. We'll go back to that before we close our message today. So I've spoken to you about the obscurity of Ascension Day. The other gospel writers include the ascension of Jesus, but it's more subtle. Like in the book of John, for instance, you get in John chapter 16, where Jesus says, I got to leave you, but don't worry. I'm going to give you an advocate, a paraclete, a spirit to help you with your life. So it's not that the other gospel don't know about the ascension, but they didn't make it prominent like Luke did in both the gospel and in the book of Acts. He makes that more prominent. So we move from an obscure celebration, kind of, don't we, to a rather significant, important thing. This going up of Jesus. On my trip to Egypt and Israel and Jordan, and we'd hiked up all these places where people did cultic things, worshipful things, religious things, where they built temples and where the fearful emperors and kings and pharaohs built their fortresses, always on high, always to look down on people, always with, well, the oligarchs and the emperors and the kings to look down on people and oppress them. But the high worship places, the Apocrypha, or the Acropolises, the high places, that was always on high because somehow they think on high is where all the power is and where everything happens, where there was child sacrifice and where people were made to be subjugated to gods that were fickle and gods that demanded too much. In comes Christianity also with a sense of a high thing going on, a very high thing. But what is the Christian thing about the high places or the things on high, the things that are up? Well, says Luke, it was a cloud. He just went up into the clouds. They saw him. And in fact, they stared long after they stopped, could see him. There he was going up. And when you think about it, that would first seem kind of like a sadness, wouldn't it? The Savior that they saw as followers and then suffered and died. Part of their treachery was to cause that. And then he arose from the dead, surprise, and then he ascended. There must have been a sadness, but you know, you don't get that hint from the scriptures. Look at the context of Luke. If you go back to Luke, it says, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he went up into heaven. And in verse 52, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So the first ascension was not so negative, not so dreary. The kind of thing that we might not have expected because, let's face it, if someone you love leaves, that's not easy. But they said they returned with great joy. And then in the book of Acts, when Luke's writing again returns to that, he says, but don't worry, I'm going to leave you as my witnesses. I'm going to give you my spirit, and you're going to be my witnesses. Don't worry. You'll be all right. So it may be obscure. It may be difficult to fathom, but it's a wonderful moment in the life of the early church, of the disciples. And it was not oppressive. We aren't given the emotional content of all of this, but if there was sadness, and there might well be to have Jesus go, His absence did not create a depression. People didn't hide away quite. They said they went back, and they went back to the temple. They went back to the temple, says Luke. Perhaps the witness, and you will know. After, next week is Pentecost. You'll sense what happened within days, right? So you have Easter. Then 40 days later comes Ascension, last week Thursday. And then 10 days from that comes Pentecost. So next Sunday morning, we're going to speak about the 50th day, Pentecost, and about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so this is where this whole Ascension thing fits. Now, what we got to do with this, of course, is realize that there's a fluidity. There's a sort of a movement of scriptures about this. This isn't to try to get the history right or all the facts and figures in the right place. People like us who are data-bound and who are want to know factual stuff so carefully and sometimes scientifically, we have trouble with the ascension. A human body up into the heavens. That isn't what we're asked to do in response to this passage. We need to accept that there is a flow in all of scriptures, from ancient text in the first or Hebrew Testament, the Old Testament, of God who interacts with his people, and that his presence isn't so much a thing to try to understand fully, but to enjoy, to hold you in a wonderful process of God and people together. And so the rising of Jesus into the heavens is a gift to the early church to know that one of us has made it. That one of us is in the heavenly realms. Now, it's hard for most of us to fathom heaven. Where do you go when you die? What happens to our bodies? We're well aware that they go into graves. Some of you who have had recent losses, and if you go into a graveyard even today, you know there's a tension in us too about where are the ones that we love? Where are they now? And so we don't answer all those mysteries, not now, not in all of Scripture, and I don't have them finally for you either. This I know, that the Scriptures do not preach obscurity, but they preach comfort. They give a visual of God's care for his early church then and God's church today. You and me in these church pews today. That one of us has made it. Now, that's not a small thing. I know you can't make much of it on the Jumbotron, as it was then called, the Sky Dome. And nobody sent you an Ascension Day card or gave you an Ascension Day message, I suspect, on your various little screens. But God wants to bless us with a picture of hope that when Jesus died and says that the bonds of hell and death were broken, and when he rose from the grave, death was conquered, and then what? Well, you go to be with God. This is a picture of that. The visual is you will be with God. And why do we say that? Why can we say that? Is it that we're after trying to explain away obscure scripture passages? Not at all. I think what happens is you go deeper into scripture by being careful about trying to understand the facts here. And rather, let what the Bible wants to do entirely to give you deep connection to God. That's why we go to Colossians chapter 3. And I'll read it with you once again. And yours is on page, what did I say that reference was? That was on page 1834. It's a scripture passage that isn't just about the past, but about the now in your life and about the forever in your life. So ascension has to do with then, now, and forever. I'll read it to you again, Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Who? You. He says, you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God because of ascension. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. One of us has made it as a picture that all of us have made it. Do you see why ascension is so beautiful and so powerful? In some ways, it's kind of a good thing that our world doesn't make a big deal out of it and commercialize it or hallmark it or whatever they do with our Christian sentimentalities and our meanings. Your life is hidden with God. The Apostle Paul says that too in Romans chapter 6. You had a sermon on that from Jacob Voss here just a week or two ago about that you're baptized into Christ. Am I right? Did he? Baptized into Christ. Into his death, says Paul. Into his death, into his resurrection, into his life. Baptized into Christ. One of us has made it. So things are looking up. No matter what you think about life, no matter, and you all think about life with fears and doubts and worries and concerns, and it never ends for any of us. As you get older, sometimes it gets worse. What a broken, troubled world this is that can't look up for any hope, it seems. But in Christ Jesus, you're invited to look up. Not to get the picture cracked, how does this body floating into the clouds? That isn't quite the meaning. That's why the gospel writers don't write about it that way, that much. Only Luke gives you the history of it. But all of them say about being bonded with Christ. And when Paul tries to put all these things together, he says, set your minds on things above where Christ is. Where you are with him, for one of us has made it, you see. So we have this fluidity of the pictures. We have the scriptures, which are not obscure, but go for something deeper than just some little fact that you could attach yourself to. The scriptures ask you to be in Christ in a relationship, to combine Paul's letter in Colossians to Romans 6. We are baptized into his death and resurrection and raised to newness of life, then to be raised into the heavenly realms and there set your minds above where Christ is. That's where you are. That's how your life then has a strange mystery to it. Hidden with Christ in God. Do you know how mysterious you are? How wondrous is your life layered like that? That whenever, and not if, the word if doesn't apply here, but whenever you are fearful, whenever you doubt, whenever you are worried and discouraged, whenever you are troubled, look up. That is, look up where you are with Christ. To take on this picture that you're already where God wants you to be, where you're going to be forever, with Christ, hidden with Christ in God. You could spend a lifetime trying to figure out what that means. And religions do, by the way. All religions try to figure out something about this. You know, the Buddhism or Hinduism or any of these kinds of Eastern religions try to do some of that. They try to get you out of the ordinary up into their God systems. And the stuff you have to get there is tough for many religions. In Christ Jesus, you're already there. That's what he tells us. Don't worry, say the angels who came to say, don't worry, he's going to come back the way he went up. But in the meantime, go live your lives. And they did. They said they went out with joy, and they heard the words I'm going to give you my spirit, says Jesus, and you're going to be my witnesses. So will you do that? Will you be his witnesses? Look up to what you're asked to look up to, which is you in the heavenly realms, hidden in Christ with God. And would you then take that attitude and your words and your thoughts to how everything in your ordinary lives, would you look up? Because things are looking up with him. They are not easy. They will be tough until he comes again. We know that. The promises are true about that. It will be rough. But all things will be made new. And the pictures of us with Christ, he with us, we with him, are glorious. We are already with him. And we will be with him forever. When he appears, he says, you will appear with him that way. May God help you to look up. May God help you to remember that ascension is your ascension too. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this morning and these powerful meanings from your scriptures that remind us, however obscure we've made it in our busy world for church and societies, ascension is deeply, deeply your great gift to us. One of us has made it, and now because of Christ, all of us have made it. Thanks for the hiddenness of Christ, we with him, in you, and all that that means, a response of joy and a response of witnessing, of saying and being and doing Christianly in our lives. Oh, God, help us. You know we don't do well at that sometimes, and we fail. But what we need to have, we already have. And what you've declared over us is already finished in Christ. So make us respond today gladly and thankfully and joyfully about the ascension of Jesus and our looking up in his name. Amen.